Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
I want to finish the message that I actually shared last week. It's part one last week, and now I'm going to share part two. Originally, it wasn't going to be a two-part message, but we were sharing some things concerning principles that promote turnaround. How many of you know that it has been prophetically declared that 2017 is a year of turning? It's a year of turnaround. Look at somebody and say, this is your year of turnaround. It's a year of turning. It's a year of turn captivity. As a matter of fact, actually toward the end of the year, the Lord really began to place that word on the inside of me. I shared a message, as a matter of fact, in the fall specifically about captivity being turned and things like this. And I believe that the Lord is speaking this by the Spirit. And so things are happening, and God's causing some things to turn, praise God, within our lives. Amen. And I believe there is a different atmosphere, even in the spirit, that is beginning to be created that is going to foster greater and greater turnaround within our lives. Amen. Let me say that we have seen some seasons of revival, but I believe what we're going to enter into is the greatest season of revival that we've ever seen. We continue to hear it prophesied. Hear this. Don't grow weary in believing what God said, even though you don't see it immediately. Because I will tell you that God began, think about this, there were messianic prophecies that were 500, 1,000, and 1,500 years before Jesus actually came on the scene. So you think that you've waited a long time because you waited since last week. And how many of you know that we got to be willing to keep believing what God said, even when we don't see evidence of it right now. We keep on believing. Lord, you said it. What I believe is not based upon what I see. What I believe is based upon, Lord, what you said. And if you said it, God, you will bring it to pass. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God's going to bring his word to pass within your life. Now, we have to understand this. We can have all type of words about turnaround, about things that God desires to do. But we have to enact biblical principle to actually see those things happen. See, whenever things begin to be prophesied, what God is doing is he is focusing attention on things that he desires to do within our lives. And so I believe that the Lord has been speaking some things, and he's been focusing attention and saying, I want to turn things around within your life. I want to turn your family around. I want to turn your finances around. I want to turn your health around. Hallelujah. Hey, by the way, for some people, that might mean you need to go to the gym. You might have to put up the potato chips. You might have to get off the sweets. Oh, y'all don't shout me down. I'm getting less and less amens the more I go into this. And look, I'm talking to myself at the same time. You know, you can get great prophetic words. God, I'm going to restore your health. You know, part of it might be that you change your diet. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? I mean, those things are important also. It may mean you even need to take some vitamin supplements. I'm not trying. I don't have a card selling vitamins today. I'm just telling you. You know, the truth of the matter is a lot of the things that we eat, they are deficient of vitamins, and for various reasons. So, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to actually consume some food supplements. Just saying. And so the point that I'm trying to make in all this is we can have all these words about turnaround, but turnaround will only happen to those who are willing to turn some things around. Amen. Right? Turnaround's not going to... See, you're not going to have turnaround in your family if you continue to cuss at each other. I'll go ahead and say it. God forbid anybody here in High Praise that's going on, but I'm just saying you can't expect great turnaround if you're arguing and bickering all the time. At some point in time, you got to say, we're not going to do this. We're not going to live this way. You know what? Anytime there's a temptation, we're going to grab hands with each other, and we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I dare you. You pray 10 minutes in the Holy Ghost, and then see if you can argue. You know what the most difficult time of that would be? Getting started. Nobody wants to pray in the Holy Ghost. Nobody wants to pray in the spirit whenever they're angry and they're upset. However, that's one of the best things that you could do at that moment in time. See, but the reality is this, you've got to begin to make some changes. Turnaround is going to happen to those who are willing to begin to enact biblical principle, because that will always produce, I want everybody to hear this, biblical principle is unchanging. And it will always produce good results and good fruits in your life as long as you will actually enact those principles. A lot of times people end up getting mad with God whenever God had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they refused to obey what he said in his word. And then they end up getting the fruit, receiving the fruit of their labors and of their sowing to the flesh, and then they're all mad with God. Listen, you don't have any reason to be mad with God. Listen, there is absolutely no reason for anybody to ever be mad with God. As a matter of fact, you should never, I've heard people say, well, you know, you need to learn to forgive God. Forgive God for what? You got wrong theology if you're having to forgive God. Y'all don't shout me down right now. I said, you got wrong theology if you feel like you got to forgive God, like God let you down. You're pointing the finger at the wrong individual. Look at somebody and say, don't blame God. Now, I understand what you have to do is you have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm saying that you're not responsible for what happened. And there's an element of one, in one sense, of forgiveness in that. But understand this. I've heard people say, I'm mad with God. Listen, what the root of that is this, wrong theology. I'll say it again. The root of it is wrong theology. If I've got to forgive God, then that means I'm holding him responsible for what happened within my life. That means I'm not accepting any responsibility. How many of you know we just got to learn to forgive and say, Lord, some things I don't understand why it happened this way. I know that God is good. The devil is bad. He's the one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So that's who I'm going to point my finger at, if anybody. Amen? This is good preaching right now. So Psalm 127, let's read this. Psalm 127, we're going to start with verse 1. This is actually the wrong scripture. Praise the Lord. I put down the wrong. Let's go on up. Going up to the next. That's a good scripture, though. Somebody help me real quick when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. 126. Oh, there we go. Psalm 126, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Now, we shared this at the very beginning of the year. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Now, in the original King James, it actually says, when the Lord turned the captivity. Anybody got an original King James there? When the Lord, how many of you in your Bible says, when the Lord turned, you got it? It says, when the Lord turned, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. So we have to understand that God desires to turn captivity. If you're captive in any area of your life, it is the will of God that for that captivity to be turned. God doesn't want you to stay in captivity. If you're in captivity to sickness and disease, it is not the plan of God nor the will of God that you remain captive to sickness and disease. If you're in captivity to poverty and lack, hear this, God does not want you to remain in captivity to poverty and lack. If you're in captivity to family oppression, hear this. God doesn't want you to remain in captivity to family oppression. Can somebody say amen today? Amen. So we know that God wants to turn things around within our lives. That is his will. Now, we began to share last week concerning principles that promote turnaround. Now, the first one that we specifically shared was this. You have to be willing to forsake the past. How many know God brought a turnaround in Moses and also the children of Israel? But it started with Moses forsaking Egypt. He had to be willing to leave Egypt. It's amazing to me how many people want God to do miracles in their lives, but they're not willing to forsake some things that they need to give up. They're not willing to turn loose of some things that are holding them back and keeping them in the place that they're in right now. I tell you, if there's anything in your life that the Lord is speaking to you, you need to turn loose of, then I would encourage you, turn loose of it. Hallelujah. Some people won't forsake their sin, and then they wonder why they keep living in a place of captivity. Hear this, you gotta be willing to forsake your sin. I'll say that again, you gotta be willing to forsake your sin. I'm gonna say it one more time. If you're living in sin, you gotta be willing to forsake your sin if you wanna see God turn some things around within your life. Sin is always the open door for the enemy to come in and actually steal and to rob and to kill. You have to say, Lord, I am turning, I'm forsaking those things. I'm forsaking the things of the flesh. I'm forsaking the things that are not right, amen? And also, listen, there's sometimes you may have to cut some people off. If you got ungodly connections, then break those connections real quick, amen? If you and the boys are getting together and you're going out to the bars, and you need to cut that connection. Oh, y'all don't shout me down right now. You know, if you're doing things that are unholy, you need to cut the connection and cut the cords of those things that would tie you to those things. You got to forsake the past. Don't be conformed, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be willing to let the bowl of porridge pass you so that you can inherit your birthright. Amen. Don't settle for the temporary whenever God has the eternal in mind for you. The second thing that we talked about is you got to begin to speak to the mountain. God told Moses, he said, go, you go prophesy to Pharaoh. Some things have to begin to come out of your mouth. Let me even say it like this. The right things have to begin to come out of your mouth. If you're always talking about the mountain rather than speaking to the mountain, then your language is wrong. You got to begin to say something different than what you've been speaking in the past. Amen. Begin to say what God is saying. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, this is going to be good today. You have to begin to speak what God is saying. Stop talking about everything going on and begin to declare what God desires to be happen within your life. Paul told Timothy, war a good warfare with the prophecy that has went over you. Well, how do you war a good warfare with prophecy? Do you take it and you print it out and you start waving it in the air? How many know that's not the way that you war a good warfare with a prophecy that's went over you? How do you war a good warfare with a prophecy that's went over you? What do you do? This is not a trick question. I'm pointing at what you've got to begin to do. You have to begin to speak it out yourself. Lord, this is what you said. I'm going to read out and I'm going to say what you say. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. I'm going to say what you say. You said that my children are taught of the Lord and great will be their peace. You said that my children will stand and prophesy. You said that my children will experience revival. So I'm not going to talk about the way that they're living right now. I'm going to talk about what you said. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses shows up to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. He said it this way. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Listen, sometimes you're going to have to get in the face of the enemy and you're going to have to say, thus saith the Lord. I know what you've been saying, but let me tell you what God is saying. I know what you've been saying about my family, but let me tell you what God is saying. I know what you've been saying about my finances, but let me tell you what God is saying about my finances. Thus saith the Lord, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I'm the brains and not the butt. See, you got to get, Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We got too much passive Christianity going on. The violent take, actually one translation says, the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. You know, the only way that the kingdom ever advances is forcefully. You know why? Because there's a devil. And the only way the kingdom can advance is through spiritual force. And then it goes on to say this, and forceful men take the kingdom. Forceful men take the kingdom. Forceful men take the earth. Forceful men take hold of their promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Forceful men actually inherit what God has said about them. It's not the weak. It's not the ones who are timid and shy. It's not the ones who are the, you know, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, woo-hoo. No. It's not the tiny Tims of the world that are going to inherit what God has for them. It's those who say, that's my mountain and I'm going after it. This is the promise of God. Lord, you said it. I receive it in Jesus' name. So you got to get forceful about this. Ha! You know, there's no war that's ever been won. No war has ever been won because people go out singing tiptoe through the tulips. No war has ever been won because, in a passive manner. It's always been won through force. Whenever you have an enemy, and all of you that are in the military, you know the purpose of the U.S. military. And by the way, the primary purpose of the military is not merely to keep peace. What it's really there is to kill bad guys. Man, it must be a great revelation alert today. Why do you think we have missiles? Why do you think they have guns? Why do you think we have launchers and everything else? The arsenal is so great now that I couldn't keep up with it. I haven't been in the military, but I can tell you this much. There is one reason that we have an arsenal, and the arsenal is this. If a bad guy shows his head, then we can blow him out of the water. Right? That's the whole idea. You say, you either stop or you're going to get it. All right, praise the Lord. I know that's not popular to preach today, but see, you know what? We need the church to rise up in power once again. We need a church of power to rise up once again. And so you got to begin to speak to the mountain. You got to begin to say something. You got to begin to get aggressive with this. The next thing that is very akin to this is spiritual aggression in warfare. Moses had to throw down his rod. There's got to be a throwdown somewhere. I'm going to throw it down, hallelujah. We're going to get it on right now, hallelujah. You've been threatening me, and I'm not going to go run away, and I'm not going to hide. I'm throwing down my rod. It's time for us to begin to fight and take authority where God has commanded us to take authority. Abandon the thinking of fatalism and embrace the understanding of your authority in Christ. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, they are not, but they are. They're not carnal, but they're, look at somebody say, my weapons are mighty. Look at somebody say, your weapons are mighty. Your weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Bringing every thought into captivity. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say this, standing ready to avenge you of your adversaries at the fulfilling of your obedience. That's such an amazing part many times that we leave out. But it actually says that the weapons of your warfare, they're actually there to actually bring vengeance and judgment upon the head of the enemy as a result of your obedience to God. Man, how powerful that is. But you see, there's got to be spiritual warfare. That's going to be one of the things that's needed for you to see turnaround within your life. And then the fourth thing was worship. This is where we ended. We talked about how that Moses, he began to stretch out his hands, stretch out his arms, stretch out his rod. He began to extend his hand, began to extend the rod that was in his hands. And so you have to learn that you have to worship in the face of adversity. Paul and Silas, the Bible says that at midnight they prayed and sang praises. Listen, it's easy to pray and sing praises whenever you're in the sunshine. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I mean, listen, if you can't praise in this house, if you can't lift your hands in this house, you're going to have great difficulty in any type of moment of adversity. Because there's an atmosphere here in this house, there's an atmosphere in this church that is electrifying, if you can use that word, that actually causes people, that actually encourages, that actually stimulates a response of praise and worship whenever we come together. Aren't you thankful for that and that atmosphere that's in this house? I'm thankful for it. Amen. But see, you've got to learn to worship whenever you're up against the Red Sea. You've got to learn to worship whenever you're in the bottom of the cell and whenever your hands and feet are bound in stocks, where you can still say, hallelujah, I am free. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Again, Paul and Silas at midnight, they prayed and sang praises. Now, the principle number five is this. We're going to go to another individual that we see in the Bible that saw a turnaround within their life. And that is the man Naaman. Now, everybody knows Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. Naaman was a commander. Naaman was a ruler. And Naaman had high esteem in the land. And he heard that there was a prophet. And so he actually went to see the prophet. And so whenever he goes to see the prophet will not even come see him. The prophet actually sends his servant out to see him. And he says, tell him this, that he needs to go dip himself in the Jordan River seven times, and then his leprosy he's going to be healed. And then, of course, Naaman, first of all, is furious about it. First of all, he's furious because the prophet himself, I'm a man that deserves to see the prophet, and the prophet himself will not even come out and see me. And then he tells me of all the wonderful rivers around here, he tells me to go and dip in the river that's muddy, that's dirty, and that's the one that he wants me to go dip in. Isn't it amazing? So here's the next principle for you to see turnaround within your life. Are you ready for this? Humility. Everybody say humility. Now, humility actually started in Naaman whenever he came to the prophet, because Naaman was not a man that was accustomed to being dependent upon somebody else. Naaman was a do-it-yourself person. Naaman was a person that if he needed something done, he would just go tell somebody to go do it. Naaman was a person that he did not live his life with his hand out, always looking for somebody else to put something in it. He was actually the individual that was what we would call today a mover and a shaker. He was somebody with a go-get-it attitude, because that's the only way that you could actually be in his position. You had to have that kind of attitude and disposition. And so the first thing that has to happen within Naaman's life, in order for him to receive his healing and to see the turnaround, is there has to be humility worked within his life. So he had to come to the prophet. By the way, hear this. Humility means that you are willing to listen. See, humility doesn't mean that necessarily you brag on yourself all the time. Humility means this. Humility is manifested in the way that you are willing to listen to what instruction is actually given to you. You will forsake your own way and do it God's way. Again, I've shared this before. The most egotistical song that was ever written in America. That is, I guess you would call it an American standard. I did it my way. I think they should call it the anthem of fools. Because that's exactly what that is. That is an anthem for the foolish people of the world. At the end of your life, yes, I did it my way. How crazy is that? And that's the reason you ended up with nothing. That's the reason that you ended up in the mess that you ended up in, is because you always did it your way. How about submitting your way to God's way and say, I'm going to do it the Bible way. I'm going to do it the way that God has prescribed. Are y'all hearing me today? See, we have to be willing to bend our knee. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. Can I tell you, there's always a supernatural favor and there's a supernatural ability that God will release to those who are actually willing to humble themselves and be willing to listen to somebody else, listen to some instruction, listen to some wise counsel. I can't tell you throughout our ministry how many times that we've given counsel to people and then they went and did the exact opposite of what we shared with them, what we told them, and it ended up crashing on them. And how many of you know, if you would just follow wise counsel, you'll find that things will work a lot better within your life. If you'll follow the word of God, things will work a lot better. You'll see turnaround within your life. But you have to be willing to humble yourself. The next principle is this, obedience. Because after the prophet's servant comes out and gives him instruction, of course, then Naaman begins to fuss about it. Then Naaman's servant said, Listen, this is such a small thing. Why are you fussing and arguing about where you're going to dip? This is what he said, so let's just go do it. You know, sometimes you almost have to take a position of, I don't have anything to lose. What's the worst thing that can happen by me going to the Jordan? I might get a little mud on me and I might get wet. But you know, it's like the four lepers sitting at the gate who said this, why sit here till we die? What, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen by us doing this? If we sit right here, we're going to die. There's famine in the city. If we go into the city, we're going to die. So why don't we just go somewhere and just try something? Why don't we just do something? And see, basically the principle was this. You know, Naaman had to make a decision. He was confronted and he had to make a decision. Am I going to obey what the prophet's servant told me to do? Or am I just going to be content staying here and continuing to live with leprosy until the day I die? Thank God Naaman had enough sense to say, you know what? We don't have anything to lose. Why don't we just obey what was spoken to us? Amen. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. But the reality is this, Naaman had to obey and he had to dip in the Jordan River. Listen, sin will keep you out of your promise. As a matter of fact, disobedience will keep you out of your promise. There are always negative consequences if we disobey God's word. So we have to make a decision that if we want to see turnaround, that we're going to live a lifestyle of obedience. Look at somebody and say, you got to live a lifestyle of obedience. Now, there are a lot of different things that we see throughout the Word of God that we're commanded to do. But listen, let me just give you a couple of things. You can't expect to see financial turnaround within your life if you're not willing to actually tithe and give offerings. Right? If you're not willing to be a tither, then you can't expect to see a financial turnaround. I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you, you can't live in disobedience and then see turnaround. It doesn't happen that way. You have to be willing to actually obey what God has said. And again, what people, I found that many Christians, what they want is they want God to deliver them out of a mess that is the result of their own disobedience. Many times people have made a mess in their lives. I'm not saying always, but I'm just saying many times people have made a mess because of their own disobedience. They have disobeyed the Bible. They've disobeyed God's command. They've disobeyed what He said. They've disobeyed both things in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then they turn around and they're scratching their head going, what in the world is going on? God, can you send an airlift to lift me out of this situation? I want everybody to hear this. Whenever you're wanting an airlift, the majority of the time what I've seen is God doesn't bring a helicopter overhead and drop down a line and lift you up out of the mess. But I tell you what He will do. He'll do a flyover. And whenever He flies over, all of a sudden you'll see this big pack of stuff that's going to come out of the aircraft. And one of the first things that you're going to find within that airdrop that God brings into the middle of the forest is you're going to find a spiritual compass. And what you're going to hear is instructions. You walked into this situation. Now here's a compass telling you how to walk out. You know why the Lord does that? It's because if you don't learn how to walk out of the mess, you'll walk right back into the same mess if you get airlifted suddenly. I've seen people get all of a sudden miraculously lifted out of bad financial situations, and then 1 year later, they're right back into the same financial situation, and it's all because they thought their problem was money and not them. And how many know you got to be willing to say, Lord, you need to help me be a good steward of what you placed within my hand. Because I'll tell you this much, hear this, if you'll be a good steward, then God will bless you. Somebody said one time, Lord, bless this mess. I want everybody to hear this. God doesn't bless a mess. Whenever you begin to bring order into everything, God says, now there's the house that I can bless. Is anybody hearing me today? I know, see, what we want to hear is God's going to turn everything around. You don't have to do anything. I'd be lying to you if I told you that. Every prophecy, every prophetic promise, every promise that we read in the Bible, hear this, there are conditions that are placed on it, whether or not it's actually stated at the time of the giving of the promise. But there are always conditions. There's always things that we've got to do. Let me say it like this. We have to cooperate with the Lord. We have to begin to co-labor with Him. We have to work with Him if we want to see the promise fulfilled within our lives. We get excited about the prophetic word and we run and we jump and we dance and we shout. Let me tell you what, there were words that were prophesied over people today, but they're going to have to take that word and work with that word. See, today, Jason and Andrea, they got a beautiful word about their marriage, about their home, their family. And as far as I know, everything's great in their family and home. So that word is meant as an encouragement that wherever the enemy's attacked you, hallelujah, there's fortification that God is bringing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But let me say this, they've still got to do what's right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, he can't start dating other women. Right? She can't start seeing other men. Is anybody hearing me? She can't get on her phone and start texting old boyfriends from how long have I been married? How many? 26. She can't text old boyfriends from 30 years ago. Hey, cutie, I saw your picture on Facebook. Listen, you would destroy a relationship that way. Is this making sense to you? There are things you've got to do personally. There are things that you've got to do to make the word of the Lord is not going to be fulfilled automatically without your cooperation. You have to cooperate, amen? So obedience is necessary. If you don't obey, you won't see the fulfillment. If you don't do what God commanded, then you're not going to see it happen within your life. I wish I could tell you that it really doesn't matter how you live. However, whenever I read the Bible, I find something different to be true. It does matter how you live. It does matter how you act. It does matter whether or not you obey the word of the Lord. Amen? Another beautiful example is the widow of Zarephath. And you see a widow, she's out collecting sticks to make a fire so that she could make a cake for her and her son at home. The prophet comes by, basically begins to strike up a conversation with her. Said, what you doing? Oh, I'm collecting sticks. You know, there's a famine in the land. And I've got a little bit of meal and I've got a little bit of oil and I'm going to go home and I'm gonna strike up the fire and I'm going to make me and my son a cake and we're going to die. Just like that, going to make a cake, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. You know what the prophet says? No, you will not do that. Because God has a different plan for you. But what I want you to do is you got to make me a cake first. Oh, can you imagine if CBS and CNN and all the other news outlets would have been around whenever the prophet said that. Prophet of God goes into widow's house, takes her last meal. As a matter of fact, they would have probably exaggerated it. Killed the woman first and stole the flour. Right? Come on, let's be honest. Never seen such a mess in my life. Now, this is the next principle. Because the widow was planning on doing one thing, the prophet arrested her and said, no, you're not going to do this. You're going to do another thing that God has in mind for you. So I want everybody to shout this word. Now, whenever I say it, I want you to shout it out to me. And that is this. You must believe.
Believe.
Look at somebody and say, you got to believe.
Believe.
You see, at that moment in time, she was faced. She was in a predicament. Okay. Do I go home and do I eat like I said I was going to eat? Do I make this cake for me and my son and do what I said I was going to do? Or do I do what the prophet told me to do? So the next thing that you've got to do, hear this, if you want to see turnaround, hear it, is you've got to believe what God said about you. You've got to believe what God said about your situation. She had to believe the word of the prophet. I think about this sometimes, and I don't really know if she even really recognized who it was. Perhaps she did. Perhaps she knew who he was. Perhaps she didn't. However, even if you know it's the greatest prophet in the land, you still got to know, and then you got to believe what God said. You have to believe, this is God's word to me. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this? She had to believe the word of the prophet. Please understand this. Faith is the language of heaven. The language of doubt and unbelief is not spoken in heaven. It never has been spoken, and it never will be spoken. It's amazing to me whenever I see Jesus in operation, he usually does not echo the doubt and unbelief of others. They'll start speaking words of doubt and unbelief, and he just turns around and turns it around on them and says, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. But Jesus, do not fear, only believe. We're not going to talk about the situation right now. We're not even going to address it right now. As a matter of fact, what we're going to actually do is ignore it as if it was not even in existence, because right now, what's keeping you back from your turnaround is your fear, and you've got to make a decision that you're going to believe what I'm saying. Forget about this. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He always wants to focus your attention on the wrong thing. And you got to make your decision. I'm going to focus in on what Jesus said. If you want heavenly results, then you got to speak heaven's language. You will never see heavenly results in your life if you're not speaking the language of heaven. You got to grab hold of your promise and say, I choose to believe. Lord, if you said it, then I choose to believe. There are times that, and y'all have heard some of these testimonies before, and I could be here all day giving you testimonies. And I can remember whenever Kayla was, when Stacy first, she was first pregnant with Kayla. And we went to the doctor, and Stacy began to bleed very heavily. And the doctor said, you have a blighted ovum, and we want to do a DNC procedure because what's happening is you are miscarrying, and it is important that we go in and scrape the walls of the uterus. And what Stacy said is this. She called me up, first of all, and she began to talk to me, and she was crying. I said, no. I said, bottom line is we're not going to do that. And this is the reason that we didn't do it. Are you ready for this? This is the reason why. Because this is like in March, the end of March, first part of, it's actually in April it was. It was in April. And this is why. It's because in February, we received a prophetic word during ordination that we were going to have a daughter who would be a dancer in the house of the Lord. And then in March, in a school of the Holy Spirit, there were three different times that I received a prophetic word that we were going to have a baby. There were three different times within that meetings, the course of those meetings, that they had one-on-one sharing. I know that some of you are familiar with one-on-one sharing. Some of you may not be. But we had one-on-one sharing. And all three times, whenever we had the one-on-one sharing, three different people that didn't know anything about us whatsoever, all three of them gave me a word about a baby. Pastor Stacy had actually went into that meetings, into those meetings and had prayed and said, Lord, because she wanted to have another child, and I'm not sure about this for various reasons. And she prayed, said, Lord, give me confirmation that it's your will and it's, you know, we can proceed and have it another child. However, she didn't get one word, but I did. I got not one, not two, but three words. Three words. You know why the Lord gave them to me? Because I was the problem. I was the holdup. Now, I said all that to say this. I had that one word. We had another three words. You know what? I believe the word of the Lord. And I can remember we went home after the diagnosis. I'd lay my hands upon her stomach. I said, you will live and not die. 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 You will live and not die, hallelujah. You will live and not die. You see, listen, my friends, you have to make a decision. I'm going to believe what God said. I know what the doctor said, but I know what Dr. Jesus said. I know what the doctor said, but you know what? I've got, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. And I begin to declare the word of the Lord. Lord, you said that we would have a daughter who would be a dancer in the house of the Lord. Lord, you said that we were going to have another child. Lord, we agree. We come into, I choose to believe what you said. About a month later, all the bleeding stopped. Little time went by. She went back to the doctor. The doctors did a sonogram. Whenever the doctor did the sonogram, all of a sudden he jumped back in amazement. Because he actually began to hear the heartbeat of the baby that was on the inside of her womb. In December of that year, December 6, 1988, this young lady that's right here was born. Why? Because we chose to believe what God said versus what somebody else said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, turnaround started whenever we made a decision to believe what God had said. You have to believe in the face of adversity. It's easy to believe when it looks, as a matter of fact, it's not difficult to believe when you can see something. As a matter of fact, you don't have to really believe, you just have to acknowledge it. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. In other words, you don't have to believe if you can see it. Right? We have to believe for what we cannot see. So we begin to war a good warfare, and we saw that happen. You have to grab hold of your promise and not let go. Because the devil will do everything within that he can, because that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to give up on your promise. He wants you to let go of your promise. He wants you to let go of the inheritance that God has for you. And you've got to make a decision, I'm not letting go. Look at somebody and say, I'm not letting go. The next thing that happened with this widow of Zarephath was this. Please shout this out when I say it. Give. The prophet said, make me a cake first. She had to make the prophet a cake out of her own need. While she was still in need, while she was still hungry, while she didn't have enough, barely enough, just because what the prophet said, listen, what you're going to do is you're going to make me, first of all, oh, praise God. By the way, you know, the first thing that should come out of your check is what belongs to the Lord. If you want to see financial turnaround, then start taking the first part of your check, what belongs to God, and you begin to give it to Him. My friend, you'll see turnaround. So this little widow woman, she took. Because it's very interesting. He didn't say, make me a cake out of what you got left over. He didn't say, make me a cake out of what you got left over. Listen, you don't give God what you got left over. You give Him your best. I'm going to say it again. Don't give God what you got left over. You give Him your best. Well, if I got any energy left over, you know, by the time the week's through, then I might go to church. No, you make sure you got some energy. You give God some energy on the first day of the week, and guess what? He'll energize you all throughout the rest of the week. Amen. This is good preaching today. Make me a cake first. Before you make yourself a cake, first of all, you make me a cake. It says that she did that. And what the Bible goes on to say is that as a result of that, the cruse of oil did not fail. The meal did not fail. And this is what it says. She ate many days. She ate many days. Can I tell you that this widow had a dramatic turnaround within her life? You know why? Because she was willing to give even in the moment of her need. Well, God, you do something great for me, and then I'll begin to give. No, you start giving, and then you'll see me do something great for you. Financial turnaround. Listen, I'm not saying that because we need something here at this church. I'm not saying that to try to twist your arm. I'm saying that because I want to see turnaround come in your life. I want to see you have God's best. And that's the principles, or these are the principles that actually cause it to happen. Financial turnaround comes on the other side of precious seed sown. If you're waiting for turnaround before you give, chances are you're not going to see it. Someone on earth must do something to release and express their faith before things change. You've got to do something before things are going to change. You want to see turnaround? You want to see a financial turnaround? And I encourage you to get your wallet out. And by the way, do more than just lay hands on it and pray for it. I've seen people do that. Well, I'm going to lay hands. I need a breakthrough. So I'm going to take my wallet out and I'm going to lay my hands on it and I'm going to begin to pray for it. I'm not saying that you can't pray for your finances, but I'm telling you, biblically, I don't ever see anybody taking their wallet out and beginning to pray over it. Even the boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he took the closest thing to a wallet that he had, which was the sack lunch that he had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know what he did? He took everything he had and he went and put it in somebody else's hand. He put it in the hands of Jesus. And then Jesus began to take it and he began to break it. Jesus began to take it and began to break it. I'm sure that little boy was just sitting there watching. What? I hope I have some fish left over. You know, Mama sent me with some fish. I sure hope I've got something to eat. Mama's probably going to be mad with me if I don't come home with something. If I don't have some fish, if I don't get to eat, Mama's going to be mad with me. And Jesus kept breaking the fish, kept breaking the bread, 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 till finally everybody was fed and there were 12 baskets left over. Hallelujah. Increase didn't come because the little boy said, I'm going to pray over my fish. I'm going to pray over my bread. It came into his life and that affected everybody that was there because he was willing to take that little lunch and say, Jesus, here it is. I'm willing to give you what I have. Because I know, oh, hallelujah, if I will just make room, if I will make room, Lord, the only thing you want me to do is release what I've got in my hand so that there will be more room for you to fill. Anytime you release something, hear this, the capacity for storage in your life becomes greater. I don't know how it works. Only thing I know is it works. When you release things out of your life, whatever position that held within your life, that it's like the moment that it comes out, it goes like this. And God says, I've got something larger to fill now. And then the moment that you give out of that, then see, God keeps expanding your capacity to hold. To he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Somebody here on earth has to do something. Here's the next principle. Y'all still with me? I'm coming to a close. You got to leave the comfort zone. As a matter of fact, you may have to get a little radical. You got to leave the comfort zone. We've read the story in the New Testament of the paralytic man. Decided he would go to one of Jesus' healing crusade. He heard it was being held at a house down the street. He's paralytic. He can't walk. They're carrying him on a stretcher. Whenever they get there, the line extends out the door to where nobody can get in. The house is totally packed. Nobody can get in. And this man said, or I should actually say, the brothers who were carrying him, they said, we're not going to allow anything to stand in our way for seeing our brother healed. And so they decided, we're going to crawl on the roof. Yep. So they hoisted him up on the roof. I'm thinking about this sometimes. Jesus is probably preaching and healing, you know, there in the house. And they're probably going, what's going on the roof right now? What's going on? Something happening on the roof? Peter, what's happening on the roof right now? I'm going to keep healing people. Why don't you check and see? And all of a sudden, about that time, stuff starts falling out of the roof on Jesus' head while he's praying for people. And the next thing you know, they're letting this man down through the roof so that he can receive his healing. The good news is this, the man got healed. Let me say it like this, the man had a turnaround within his life. Hear this, because people were willing to leave the comfort zone. So many believers, they're comfortable just right where they're at. Can I tell you what the definition of insanity is? You keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing the same thing if the same thing you've been doing is right and it's biblical and it's scriptural. But you know what? You got to begin to look at yourself and say, Lord, if there's things I've been doing that aren't right, that aren't producing for me, then I'm willing to do something different. I'm willing to leave the comfort zone. I'm willing to get a little radical in order that I can see turnaround within my life. Oh, brother, you're just too radical in your praise. You know why I'm radical in my praise? That's what produces turnaround within my life. Oh, brother, you're radical in that praying in the Spirit. You know why? Because that's what produces turnaround. Is it comfortable all the time? No, it's not comfortable all the time. But I'm not living in a place where I'm living in my comfort zone. I'm going to live in a radical way for Jesus. Amen? Listen, radical Christianity will produce radical fruit. Now, I'm not talking about being a nut. Everybody understand? I'm not talking about being spooky spiritual. I'm not talking about being an ozone, twilight zone, type Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about you're willing to step outside of the box. Hallelujah. You know, I'm glad our praise and worship, we have people that step outside the box. I hope you understand what I mean by that. This is the last thing. The last principle is perseverance. The woman with the issue of blood, wonderful example. She had an issue of blood and she needed healing. For her to get a turnaround meant this, she was going to have to make her way through a crowd. Being weak in her own body, she had to make her way through a crowd. The Bible says that she had to press through the crowd. Listen, you've got to make a decision to continue regardless of opposition. Hear it, hear it, hear it. Don't let the crowd keep you from your turnaround. Many people are letting the crowd, they're letting the culture, they're letting the society, they're letting what everybody else is saying keep them from the turnaround that God has in their life. Hear this, don't let others keep you out of the blessing. Because I'll tell you this, there'll always be people that will discourage you. There'll always be people that will say things. There'll be always be people that will lie about you. And you got to make a decision. I'm just going to keep on doing what's right. I'm going to keep on pressing in. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm not going to allow them to keep me away from what God has paid for me and has made available for me. My goodness, if you don't want to be lied about, don't go into ministry then. I mean, people will say all kind of crazy things. You know what? And if I tried to respond to everything that anybody had ever said, and if I tried to respond to lies that have been said, you know what? I would spend all my time trying to respond to what crazy people have done and what crazy people have said. I don't have time to mess with stuff like that. You know what? I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. My goodness. It's amazing. I've said it before. It's amazing what I hear about myself sometimes that I had no knowledge of. Somebody called the church one day. It's kind of funny, so I can talk about this. Somebody called the church one day and said, "We heard that Pastor Robert died." They went and looked in my office. "He's still alive." "I'm still here. It's not a ghost, I promise." So folks will say all kind of nutty things, and you just got to make a decision. I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I can't allow the crowd to keep me from what God has for me. Let me say it like this. You can't allow the flow of the culture to keep you away from what God has for you. You can't allow the flow of the society to keep you away from what's right. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to live my life by what the culture is saying, what the society is saying. Lord, if you said it, that's what I'm going to believe. And I'm going to persevere in the truth. Amen? Regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do, you must be determined to do the right thing. You've heard me say it before. You'll never go wrong by doing what's right. Amen? See, all of these things that I've been sharing, what they do is they position you for a turnaround. You're positioning yourself to see a turnaround. You are actually activating principles that will promote a turnaround within your life. In all of these different areas, listen, if there's sickness in your body and you've been believing and standing to see healing, hear this, you got to persevere. You got to press through the crowd. You got to see, there's some people that want to bury you, but while you still got breath in your body. And you got to make a decision. I'm not going to listen to you. Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Listen, He's not mysterious. He's a healer. Hallelujah. There's nothing mysterious about Him being healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. That's not mysterious. That's Bible. That's the way He revealed Himself. Don't tell me he works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Well, yes, I believe His wonders are going to be performed. They're going to be performed in me, and I'll receive my healing, and I'm going to get off of this bed in the name of Jesus. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So you got to have an attitude to a certain degree that I'm not going to allow any of my promise to be taken away from me. Amen? God will bring turnaround in the lives of those who are willing to turn around. Turnaround doesn't automatically happen just because God said it. We got to align ourselves, and we have to begin to function in these principles that were promoted within our lives. Would you stand to your feet today?
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.